Welcome back to part two of Pressure Wounds. Now we're going to talk about the issue of getting diagnosed and proving diagnoses when it comes to different disorders.
Of issues surrounding like diagnosis with mental disorders simply because like a lot of them focus on more on the output. They focus on what comes after the equal sign, not on what goes in between the two numbers. The numbers we plug might be different, but the functions are the same. And I feel like that's something that is not taken into account enough. It's not like this physical health where you could do a test or look at something under a microscope.
And would you say that there's more steps than medical professionals would think?
There's more steps than the average person would think. There's a prevalence on the internet of like people who are self-diagnosed. Like you barely see a lot of people self-diagnosing with physical conditions. A large part of it is because of diagnostic criteria and the way we look for people showing these symptoms. And if you do not manifest symptoms in a stereotypical way, you don't know that you need help. You just think that you're broken, you're lazy, you're just born bad.
Yeah, leaving things untreated over time. Getting back to that theme of pressure wounds.
And the next thing you know, it's to the bone.
So, what about your own experience of getting diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder?
That was actually a pretty funny story. And by pretty funny, I mean I have social anxiety and I just stopped having nightmares about that. I had no idea that I was on a spectrum until I was in my 20s. Like, no clue at all. I didn't know much about the comorbidities of ADHD. I was just going through the process of getting my adult diagnosis of ADHD, which for anybody out there with children diagnosed with ADHD, they have to get that renewed after they turn 18 because they have to prove that they didn't wake up on their 18th birthday miraculously cured. You're going to want to take care of that before they hit 18. But for me, I was at an honors function at my school. I was talking with another one of the honor students, and I mentioned this funny little incident from my childhood, how I used to have these, used to, I just don't put myself in situations where I have them anymore, but I used to have these like full-blown tantrums at like family events because my boundaries weren't being respected. And one of them was moving my chair. Like I would get asked, can so-and-so sit there? And you're a kid, so you're not allowed to say, no, this is my chair. You get up and you move. But after the third or fourth time of that, I would have, like, a whole explosion. If I didn't throw a tantrum and yell about how I hated this family at a family event, it wasn't a family event. After the story, she was saying, please don't feel offended by this, but you might be on the spectrum. And the only reason I didn't feel offended by that was because I knew it wasn't politically correct. But I was insulted and pissed off, not gonna lie. And it was like, who is this person to tell me what I may or may not have? She had two children on the spectrum, one who was better able to integrate with society and one that was less able to integrate with society. And she was saying about how they didn't know that they both were on a spectrum until they started seeing like the same functions but different outputs. And so I took it with a grain of salt. I went home, I did my research, and I went from going, what does she know, to, oh crap. And it took, I think, like 1 or 2 years to even get a diagnosis. because I had to call places. Some places you needed to call them multiple times. I had to figure out how do you even get a diagnosis. For me, it has been my insurance company asking them to send me a list of mental health providers that they cover and then going down that list and calling each one of them. It was not pretty. And then I still had to do it the old-fashioned way through a referral from my friend who referred me to a psychiatrist who, when I mentioned about the ASD, referred me to somebody else. And then I almost missed out on a diagnosis again because I went to this person whose job it is to identify disorders in certain people. And it's a term that comes up specifically with people diagnosed with ASD later in life. It's called masking. Basically, the ability to figure out how you're supposed to function in a certain situation. That's why some textbooks inaccurately claim that you can cure autism if you catch it early enough. You're not curing autism anymore than Tom Hiddleston is actually becoming a comic book character. Unless you consider acting not work, it's then applied behavioral therapy is not a cure. It's basically training children not to act how they naturally would. So masking is basically applied behavioral therapy in a non-structured setting. It is a survival instinct. It takes a lot of time and effort, and I will tell you, it is almost never foolproof. I might be able to fake it, but it's exhausting. And I went to my first appointment masking. At the end of the appointment, I said, I might possibly be on a spectrum. I did a little bit of research and it kind of seems like it might be me, but like, I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up. Somebody mentioned it. I then went on to do hours of research on the subject and was like 1,000% sure that that's what I was dealing with. And the therapist basically said, there's something there besides the ADHD, but I don't think that it's autism spectrum disorder. And fast forward a few weeks to my next appointment. The night before, I went online. I printed out checklists geared towards women on the spectrum. One of them was generated by a therapist who has a lot of experience with people on the spectrum. And there were certain traits and symptoms that she noted specifically in her female patients that were nowhere near on the DSM-5. And so I printed out that checklist and another one like it. I then printed out the DSM-4 diagnostic criteria for Asperger's and autism spectrum. And then I printed out the DSM-5 diagnostic criteria for autism. Took gel pens and I made a key. This is what I experienced. This is what I think I've experienced in the past, but don't do right now. I need more clarification, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everyone that I had one of those reactions to, I underlined it with that color. One of the sheets had like 80 possible symptoms, and there was just one that didn't have any color on it. I got up at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, drove to school for an hour and a half, drove from school to my appointment, and I spent that entire session opening and closing my hand, fidgeting, and I handed over the sheets, which should have got me a diagnosis by itself. And like my therapist went through them and stuff like that. And by the end of that session, it had gone from highly doubt you have any kind of autism to I'm pretty sure that's what we're dealing with. The biggest difference was literally how much sleep I had been able to get the night before. So go to your appointment tired. Because if you've made it this far without being diagnosed, you have more than likely have coping mechanisms and stuff like that that is designed to avoid notice.
That is some very important information on the process and your perspective on what sometimes needs to happen, like going in tired, maybe what a person needs to get the help that they need.
This season of Girl Truth is recorded virtually using the Anchor FM app. Nancy Gilliam is the producer. Adina Hill is the associate producer. And we are sponsored by the Evelor House. Want to learn more about the Evelor House? Visit us on the web at www.evelorhouse.org/girltruth.